Tonight, God's Word comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. We'll be reading just the first 13 verses of this chapter. First Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. "For I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.' We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." Here we end the reading of God's Holy Word. Well, we return tonight to our look at 1 Corinthians and Paul continuing his instruction regarding the warning against idolatry. He began that instruction back in chapter 8. Chapters 8, 9, and 10 all deal with the same theme, a warning against idolatry. He warned them that their actions, their ethic, should not be based on their knowledge, but on love. The love of God he had for them and the love they should have for each other. In chapter 9, he reminded them of his authority to instruct them. He says, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle?" Yes, I am an apostle. Yes, I can instruct you. And so in chapter 10 now, he's going to bring his argument to a close, but before he completely finishes, he gives them some examples from history. He says, "Be good students of history to learn about God and his relationship to his people." He warns them against idolatry. And it was a necessary warning for them. They were beginning to depart from the ways of God. They were beginning to say, "We are strong enough and we know enough that we can go partake of these pagan idol feasts." They thought that as members who belonged to the church, that they had the strength to do whatever they wanted. And Paul is going to remind them from Israel's history that simply belonging to the people of God externally is not enough. There must be an ongoing internal devotion to follow after God. He's going to warn them, "Be careful. You think you're so strong you can stand. Be careful, lest you fall away." It is a reminder for the church at Corinth. It is a reminder for our church today. Where do we find our security? On what do we base our standing with God? Is it our church membership? Or is it the fact that we know God through Christ has chosen us and we have an ongoing devotion and love to follow after Him, not to even think about going after idols, pagan gods, but to continue to walk in the ways of the Lord? That's God's call to us tonight, a warning against idolatry, a warning against leaving him in any way. Paul gives some Old Testament examples. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. He, first of all, reminds them, this is our history. Now, the Corinthian church was a Gentile church. They were not a Jewish people. But Paul says, having been grafted into Christ and his people, it was our forefathers I'm going to talk about. Not my forefathers, our forefathers. A reminder that the Gentiles were truly grafted in to the people of God. This is our history. And it is the history of our church as well. When we go back to Old Testament Israel, when we read a psalm like Psalm 78, this is our history, our forefathers, and how God dealt with them. As a reminder, as a warning about how he deals with his people even yet today. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And he's going to make connections between Old Testament Israel and the privileges that they had and the New Testament Corinthian church and the privileges that they had. And say, just because you belong to the church, just because you have all these privileges, don't think that you can live however you want. He says of Israel, verse 2, they were all baptized into Moses and in the cloud and in the sea. They were baptized into Moses. Now, we don't make too much theological import of that as opposed to being baptized into Moses versus Christ. Moses was a type of Christ for them. This is figurative language. But it's interesting how easily Paul can take the New Testament sacrament and apply it to Old Testament Israel. They were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The Red Sea event was a baptism event for them, as they went down into the sea and came up on the other side. Our Baptist brothers and sisters like to make a lot of that with regard to the need for immersion. You see, Israel went down into the sea and they came out again. One of my seminary professors used to remind us, he said, brothers, don't forget, yes, Israel did go down into the sea and came back up, but they went through on dry ground. Perhaps between those walls of water, a little bit of sprinkling got on them. But they were not immersed. It was actually Pharaoh and his hosts who were immersed and swept away. Again, we don't make too much theological import, but we do notice that they all passed through the sea, not just the adults, the children as well. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They had the sacrament of baptism. And Paul says, and they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. He's going to say that they had not only the sacrament of baptism, they had the Lord's Supper as well, being spiritually fed by Christ, drinking from the rock which was Christ. Israel had the sacraments. They had the leading of God Himself in the cloud and pillar of fire. And they had the sacraments, the food and the drink. All the blessings of being a part of God's covenant people. They had the privileges. They had the blessings, just like Corinth. In Corinth, they were members of the church, the leading of God through His apostle. They had the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Yet Paul warns them, be careful. Verse 5, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. One of the most, I think, strong understatements in Scripture, with most of them, God was not pleased. With all of the adults, God was not pleased, save two. Only Caleb and Joshua came through to the promised land. With everyone else, God destroyed them. The Corinthians were saying, look, we belong to the church. Look, we have the sacraments. Look, we're strong enough to do what we want. We can go to these pagan feasts. It's okay. And Paul says, don't forget Israel. They had the very same privileges. They have the very same blessings. And nevertheless, God destroyed them. A warning. A warning from Old Testament Israel, our forefathers, the same warning we receive today. On what do we base our assurance of salvation? Is it membership in a church? Is it the fact that we have the sacraments? We have been baptized. We come to the Lord's table. Look what we have done. As soon as we say, look what we have done, we set ourselves up to fall. Our assurance is what God has done through Jesus Christ. Our assurance is not in the things that we do. Because just like Israel, if we take the glory to ourselves, if we think, look what I have done, look what I can do, God was not pleased with them. And they were overthrown in the wilderness. Paul will take these Old Testament stories and apply them in this New Testament context. And he gives us four different applications of Israel to the New Testament. Verse 6. Now these things took place as examples for us. And again from verse 11. These things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction. So Paul says, be a good student of history. And then apply it to where you are today in the New Testament context. He says, these things happened to them as an example that we might not desire evil as they did. Verse 7, do not be idolaters. That's his point. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. He's reminding them of the incident back in Exodus chapter 32. The golden calf incident. How in Exodus 32 we read, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, take off your rings of gold that are in your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Israel would reject the glory of the God of Israel for a calf of their own making. And Paul warns the Corinthians, you are doing the same thing. You are going and indulging in these pagan idol feasts, saying you're so strong, saying you know so much. But don't forget Israel. Do not be like Israel, who would eat and drink and sit down and rise up to play. Paul is so directly on point. This is exactly what they were dealing with. And he says, don't forget your forefathers. And don't forget what happened to them. Paul goes on to remind them of their own history. Paul says in verse 8, we must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. Once again, going back to an Old Testament story, this time from Numbers chapter 25. Numbers recounts the wanderings of Israel in the wilderness. From Numbers 25, it says, while Israel lived in Shittim, the people began to whore with the daughters of Moab. These invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. That's exactly what was going on in Corinth, going to the places where the gods were being sacrificed to. The sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel yoked himself to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the chiefs of the people and hang them in the sun before the Lord, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. And Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you kill these men who have yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor. And behold, one of the people of Israel came and brought a Midianite woman to his family in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the whole congregation of the people of Israel as they were weeping in the entrance of the tent. Then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, saw it, and he rose and left the congregation and took a spear in his hand and went after the man of Israel into the chamber and pierced both of them, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. Thus the plague on the people of Israel was stopped. They began with going to these idol feasts, and it went on to sexual immorality. Paul had warned them about that back in chapter 6 and 7. Paul is again using the word of God directly on point. Be warned, be warned. Don't say, we belong to the church. Don't say, we have the sacraments. But an ongoing devotion to God is what is required. Not simply the externals of what had happened and what they were doing. Israel did the very same things. Paul gives two more applications. Verse 9. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Putting Christ to the test, grumbling before God. We must not put Christ to the test. Again, referring back to the book of Numbers. Numbers is a wonderful book, full of the history of God's workings with His people. Numbers 21. We read there that in Israel's travels from Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people in Israel died. They were speaking against God and against Moses. Against God and against His anointed spokesman. What was happening in Corinth? They were challenging Paul, God's appointed spokesman. That's the whole point of chapter 9. Am I not an apostle? Yes, I am. And Paul says, "Don't." When you challenge God and when you challenge His spokesman, you're challenging the very authority of God. A warning to the people. Do not challenge God. Do not challenge His spokesman and be destroyed by the serpents. And again, do not grumble against God. We won't read all of this chapter, but make a note to yourself to read Numbers 14, where the idea of the people grumbling against God shows up again and again and again. Just the first couple verses. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? They grumbled against God. They did not like His direction. They did not like His instruction. They grumbled against God's leaders. And God was not pleased. Paul says, do not be like them. Do not put Christ to the test as they did. Do not grumble as they did. And were destroyed in the wilderness. These things happened to them as an example, and were written down for our instruction. A warning to the church today. A warning rooted in God's workings with Old Testament Israel, but a warning for Corinth. A warning for us. Do not think that we are so strong that we can indulge in idolatry. Do not think that we are so strong that we can are beyond being tempted to immorality. Do not grumble against God. Do not grumble against His instruction. Do not put Christ to the test. Flee idolatry. Flee anything that would that would take your devotion away from God, anything that would keep you from being wholeheartedly given over to Him. Do not say, I belong to the church. Do not say, I go to the sacraments. But an ongoing devotion. That was what Israel failed to do. They were members of God's people. They had the sacraments, baptism, Lord's Supper, but they failed to be devoted to God, to live in the light of His faithfulness, to follow in the path He laid for them. And the same challenge faces us today. Again and again, we're challenged to deviate just a bit from the path God has laid out for us. We're challenged just a bit to put something else in place of or alongside of the one true God. That's idolatry. And Paul warns, look what happened to Israel. They were not wholeheartedly devoted. They did not continue to follow in God's ways. And He was not pleased with them. And they were overthrown. These things were written for our instruction. But Paul, being the compassionate pastor, after warning them in serious terms about falling away from God, concludes this way. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he takes his stand take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Otherwise, these things have always been going on. And God is faithful. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide a way of escape that you may endure it. There might be those that said, look, we have gone after these idol feasts. We have gone after these pagan ways. Are we lost now? No, Paul reminds them, God is faithful. And for everyone who would turn back to Him, He would continue to walk with them and embrace them. We read in Psalm 78, He would reject a number of the tribes, but to Judah, He would hold on. To His chosen ones, He would not let go. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, and God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but He does provide a way of escape. Either a way out of the temptation, or when we fall, the reminder of the forgiveness of our sins. Perhaps tonight you are here and you think about your life and the things you have done and you say, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm Israel. Maybe I'm one of those ones who has again and again rejected God and gone my own way. But for everyone who acknowledges their sin, who acknowledges the falling into temptation, God provides a most excellent way of escape. He gives us the Lord Jesus Christ, that rock of His people, to take away our sins, to wash us, to purify us, to cleanse us, and to lead us, just like God led the people of Israel with that cloud and fire, to lead us by His Word and by His Spirit in the path of righteousness. Paul encourages them, don't be overcome by your sin. Don't be overwhelmed by what you have done. Temptations are common to man. We know that. But God Himself provides the way of escape. God Himself provides the sacrifice for sin. The one who washes, the one who cleanses. The same good news is ours today. That the same God of Israel, who led them, who guided them, who directed them, the same God who would punish those who deliberately and persistently rejected Him, the same God is still faithful. And the same God still calls you. Calls you to an ongoing life of devotion to Him. Do not be like Israel. Do not be like the Corinthians who said, we're so strong, we know so much, we can flirt with idolatry, we can flirt with immorality. But rather, turn to the faithful God and Savior Jesus Christ, who holds you, who guides you, who directs you. Walk in His paths. Walk in His ways. Heed the warning. Heed the warning. But remember the blessing. The blessing of Jesus Christ. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we confess that in our pride, it is so easy for us to act like Israel. It is so easy for us to act like Corinth. We are in the church. We know so much. We can experiment with different types of sin. We are so strong. May we heed your word, O God. But if anyone thinks he stands, to take heed lest he fall. Forgive us for our arrogance. Forgive us for our pride. And where we have fallen into temptation, O God, forgive us for the sin for the sake of Jesus Christ. May we know the joy of forgiveness, the joy of being made whiter than snow, the joy of being new creatures in Jesus Christ. And now, O God, by your word and spirit, guide and direct and lead us in those paths of righteousness. Lead us as a shepherd leads his sheep, that we might never wander away in the paths of darkness. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.